in siding with the Chinese Communist Party and silencing free speech, the NBA is acting like a wholly owned subsidiary of that authoritarian regime.
The U.S. vice president has harsh words for China and some of those doing business with that country. It's Friday, October 25th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also coming your way, some of those who have been silent about Hong Kong protests are now speaking out. The North Koreans say they like Donald Trump. For many other Westerners, not so much. To battle polio still wages in some South Asian nations. You're listening to VOA Asia. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence took a swipe at the U.S. NBA, the National Basketball Association, as well as athletic wear maker Nike Thursday, in a speech criticizing Communist China's record on trade and human rights. It was a continuation of recent oratory by Mr. Pence taking a hard line on Beijing. VOA White House Bureau Chief Steve Herman followed the vice president's speech, and he joins us now from the White House.
Ira, this, again, was a hard-hitting speech about China by the vice president, who's sort of taken the lead as the top-level bulldog towards Beijing for the Trump administration. It's similar to a speech he gave a year ago, although this one perhaps was a little bit softer in leaving the door open to in signaling for a cooperation, especially at a time when this administration and the Chinese are trying to finalize what the Trump White House calls phase one of a trade deal. What the vice president specifically went after the Chinese on was criticizing their authoritarian approach to society, the rule of law, and international commerce. He also warned them about Hong Kong, saying that if there's a violent response to peaceful protesters there, that would make it much harder to conclude this pending trade pact. The vice president saying, "We stand with you," to the demonstrators in Hong Kong.
I'm pleased to observe that Hong Kong authorities have withdrawn the extradition bill that sparked the protests in the first place, and Beijing has shown some restraint. In the days ahead, I can assure you, the United States will continue to urge China to show restraint, to honor its commitments, and respect the people of Hong Kong. To the millions in Hong Kong who have been peacefully demonstrating to protect your rights these past months, we stand with you. We are inspired by you, and we urge you to stay on the path of nonviolent protest. But know that you have the prayers and the admiration of millions of Americans.
The vice president also noted that China is exporting its surveillance technology to Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East. He also accused Beijing of not living up to its promise to Washington to end exports of deadly fentanyl and synthetic opioids to the United States.
Well, he also had some harsh words for the NBA, the National Basketball Association. Here, listen.
Some of the NBA's biggest players and owners who routinely exercise their freedom to criticize this country lose their voices when it comes to the freedom and rights of the people of China. In siding with the Chinese Communist Party and silencing free speech, the NBA is acting like a wholly owned subsidiary of that authoritarian regime. A progressive corporate culture that willfully ignores the abuse of human rights is not progressive, it is repressive. When American corporations, professional sports, pro athletes embrace censorship, it's not just wrong. It's un-American. American corporations should stand up for American values here at home and around the world.
That was very notable that he was also criticizing American companies who have big business interests in China. The vice president, besides the NBA, also went after the athletic wear maker Nike, saying that it promotes itself as a social justice champion, but it prefers checking its social conscience at the door when it comes to Hong Kong. He noted that the brand's stores in China also removed from shelves merchandise of the Houston Rockets basketball team to join the Chinese government in protesting against the team's general manager for his tweet that was interpreted as supporting the demonstrators in Hong Kong. He said that those who side with the Chinese Communist Party and silence free speech, in this particular instance, the NBA, is acting like a wholly owned subsidiary of the authoritarian regime.
Is this kind of a Pence and Trump good guy, bad guy routine as far as China is concerned?
To some degree, yes. There are also others in the administration, such as Pete Navarro, who take a very hard line on China. This has, in a sense, become a part of Pence's foreign policy portfolio to definitely be the tough guy on China.
Steve Herman is the VOA White House Bureau Chief. Thanks, Steve.
Steve joined us via Skype. We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook at VOA Asia and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. British police confirm that 39 people found dead in a truck container at an industrial park were Chinese nationals. Police say 31 of the victims were men, 8 were women. Joshua Wong, the 23-year-old poster boy for Hong Kong's ongoing anti-government protests, said Thursday that he is the only candidate for upcoming district elections who has been barred from running. 5 months after winning a resounding victory in parliamentary polls, India's ruling Hindu Nationalist Party retained power in a key western state, but lost its majority in a northern state. The results of the polls were a disappointment for Prime Minister Narendra Modi's Bharatiya Janata Party, which had been forecast to win sweeping victories in both states. VOA Asia continues. Hong Kong's 580,000 non-Chinese residents, many of whom have been here for generations, have so far played a very quiet role in the anti-government protests that have shaken this semi-autonomous Chinese city. Well, slowly they're making their feelings clear, many supporting the protests, but others saying they are an inconvenience and want their adopted home to return to normal. Almost all say the actual demonstration line is one they will not cross as they fear arrest and therefore deportation. VOA's Anita Powell has more from Hong Kong.
Prabhu Singh has made Hong Kong his home for 25 years, selling Indian sweets at a tiny shop in a warren-like den full of other Asian businessmen. Nearly every weekend for the last 4 months, anti-government protests have traversed the road in front of his shop. And police recently fired water cannon at a nearby mosque frequented by the South Asian community. That incident prompted the city's chief executive to apologize to the community, many of whom have been settled here for generations. And so he says, life is a little less sweet now.
I love sweets.
He's one of the 8% of residents of this semi-autonomous Chinese city who are not ethnically Chinese. As such, they don't have all the same rights as their Chinese counterparts, regardless of whether they were born here or how long they've been here. And that puts him and his colleagues on the sideline. Many told VOA off-camera that they support the protests in spirit, but won't join them because, as immigrants, being arrested would result in swift deportation. Singh is careful with his words.
Protest, I think, it's like they are for the betterment of Hong Kong. They demand something. And the government not agree on that when I'm thinking like that.
It's a stark contrast from the handful of visiting foreigners who have enthusiastically joined the protests. They say this is everyone's fight.
I have no family connections to Hong Kong, but we got to fight for freedom no matter who it is.
That's a tougher line for longtime residents to walk. Filipino residents make up one-third of the city's immigrant workforce. They say the protests have been disruptive.
To join the protest? No.
What?
We just listen to the news, what's happening outside.
We're afraid.
But we're not able to join. No. Filipinos don't like.
Why?
Because it's caused problem for us. We're just alien here. We're not resident in Hong Kong.
Nuki, an Indonesian national, has lived here for 11 years as a domestic worker.
We are hopefully it's Hong Kong more peaceful like before. We are second home. I love Hong Kong. We love Hong Kong.
Chinese Hong Kongers say they understand this dilemma. This week, in the wake of the mosque incident, they gathered near Chung King Mansions, the immigrant hub, to show their support for immigrants. And they say they'll be their voice. Anita Pal, VOA News, Hong Kong.
Happening now in Asia, suspected militants shot and killed two drivers and set fire to their Apple trucks in Indian Kashmir Thursday. That according to a senior police official. That official said the attack took place in South Kashmir's Shopian district, a major apple-growing region and a hotbed of militancy that has raged in Indian Kashmir for decades. Stay up to date with VOA. North Korea Thursday praised the political judgment of President Donald Trump while slamming the rest of his administration as hostile. It is the latest indication North Korea prefers to deal with Trump rather than his negotiators, as VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
North Korea may have angrily walked away from nuclear talks with the U.S. earlier this month in Sweden. But on Thursday, the North had plenty of nice things to say about President Donald Trump. A North Korean Foreign Affairs Ministry official praised Trump's political judgment and intention, saying his relationship with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un remains special. He said he knows because he recently spoke with the North Korean leader. The problem, the official said, is that the rest of Washington policymakers are hostile to North Korea for no reason. Shin Bom-chul, a researcher at the Asan Institute of Policy Studies in Seoul, says the statement is part of North Korea's long-term strategy.
They believe that only President Trump might accept their proposal. So they continue to emphasize the top-down approach. They always praise President Trump.
North Korea has for months praised Trump while slamming his top officials, including Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and recently departed National Security Advisor John Bolton. Shin says that is intentional.
They divide President Trump and his officials. By doing that, North Korea is seeking the top-down approach, which means that a summit between Chairman Kim Jong-un and President Trump, they're going to pursue that U.S. concession to North Korea.
Trump and Kim have met three times since last June and exchanged personal letters. Trump at one point said he and Kim fell in love. However, the relationship has failed to transform broader U.S.-North Korea relations. It has also failed to secure progress on eliminating North Korea's nuclear weapons. Talks broke down in February when Trump walked away from a summit with Kim in Hanoi, Vietnam. North Korea agreed to working-level talks in Stockholm this month, but walked away after just one session. On Thursday, the North reiterated its end-of-year deadline for the U.S. to change its approach to the talks. It has also recently warned it may continue nuclear or long-range missile tests. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Stay with us. Coming up, the battle against polio continues in two countries in particular. This is VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia, Thailand's plans for a new $7.4 billion high-speed rail link from Bangkok to the tourist town of Pattaya got the go-ahead Thursday after months of negotiations that spilled over into public acrimony. Thai government said to sign the agreement on Thursday to begin construction with a consortium led by a conglomerate that includes Railway China Construction Corporation. VOA Asia continues. The initiative to end polio has been a long haul. It's been going on since 1988, and while it is closed, it is not yet finished. The good news is that the disease has been reduced by 99.9%. But as we hear from VOA's Carol Pearson, the polio virus is stubbornly hanging on in Pakistan and Afghanistan.
There are only two places in the entire world where children have caught polio this year, Afghanistan and Pakistan. The worldwide effort to end this disease is no less than Herculean, according to Carol Pandek of Rotary International.
Hundreds of thousands of frontline healthcare workers who are out there, you know, every day immunizing children in urban areas, in remote areas, in all sorts of settings.
Rotary International was the first organization to promote the global effort to end polio. At one time, in some countries, health workers risked their lives to immunize the children. Pandek says that is no longer the case.
What we found to be very successful is to use people from the communities, employ them to be the ones that are approaching families for vaccination because these people are trusted within the community. They're known to the community. And that seems to have really helped to alleviate some of those issues around safety for vaccinators.
Dr. Flavia Bustreo with the World Health Organization says the challenge now is to get to zero cases and to maintain that level for at least 3 years, just to make sure the virus is no longer circulating.
We need to maintain a strong surveillance to make sure we detect every single case, and then the community react to every single case that appear. So the strength of that surveillance is a critical element for reaching the final end for polio.
Dr. David Nabarro at the UN says getting to the end is actually the hardest part of the campaign because governments and organizations have to keep up their commitment until there are no more cases.
We must remain vigilant and focused till we're absolutely certain that the last case has been found and that we have got everybody protected.
That's why the theme of this year's World Polio Day is We're Not Done Yet. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
A news break from VOA Asia. A court in eastern Bangladesh sentenced the principal of an Islamic school and 15 others to death Thursday over the killing of an 18-year-old woman who was set on fire for refusing to drop sexual harassment charges against the principal. The brutality of the death triggered nationwide protest. This is VOA Asia. Well, for all of the bad press they get, vultures are an incredibly important part of any ecosystem. They eat dead animals, and they're a powerful part of keeping the environment clean and disease-free. However, in places like Pakistan, they're struggling. Saman Khan reports on efforts to save these carrion eaters from extinction. His report narrated by Behshan Hamdard.
Pakistan's oriental white-backed vultures are listed as critically endangered. Their population has declined by up to 95% in Pakistan since the early 1990s, and there are only about 100 left in the wild. To help save the species, the World Wildlife Fund has been running a breeding facility at Changamonga Zoo since 2005. But these birds lay only one egg a year, and breeding them has been difficult.
If the bird lays an egg and for some reason she flies away during incubation and the egg falls or breaks, then the whole breeding season is in vain.
A drug called diclofenac sodium is what's killing the vultures. Commonly used to treat pain and inflammation in livestock, it is incredibly toxic to the vultures. When they eat the carcasses of animals treated with the drug, the vultures die of liver failure. The drug was banned in 2006, but providing a safe food supply for the remaining vultures is still a challenge.
The facility breeds goats and rabbits to provide a sustainable food supply. If we purchase donkeys and other livestock, then we have to wait and slaughter them until we are sure the drug is out of their system.
The goal is to eventually release the birds back into the wild, but with the drug still being used, finding a safe environment for release is almost impossible.
The goal is to establish the vulture safe zones. So we're lobbying pharmaceutical companies, veterinarians, and local communities to ensure the complete eradication of diclofenac sodium. Once we've done that, we may be able to release the vultures back into the wild.
The team began with 15 vultures and have added 7 chicks over 4 breeding seasons. They now have 15 adults and 7 juveniles. Pakistan is not alone in the mission, as India, Bangladesh, and Nepal are also working through the South Asia Joint Vulture Commission to save the bird. For Saman Khan in Lahore's Changa Manga Zoo in Pakistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
A new CNN poll shows former Vice President Joe Biden with a 15-point lead over his rivals in the race for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders trailing in third place. Here's VOA national correspondent Jim Malone with the report.
Hello, Warren County!
Democratic presidential contender Elizabeth Warren is known for her energy on the campaign trail and for pushing sweeping political reform.
This is our moment in American history, our moment to dream big, fight hard, and win. Thank you.
Polls show Warren now battling longtime frontrunner Joe Biden for the top spot in the Democratic field. Biden increasingly has turned his focus to Warren and questions how she will pay for an expansive government health care system known as Medicare for All.
Credibility matters. It matters. And the question that I think that Senator Warren is going to have to face, she's going to have to tell the truth, or the question will be raised about whether or not she's going to be candid and honest with the American people.
Polls show Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders remains in third place, back on the campaign trail after a heart attack and welcoming the endorsement of New York Congresswoman and progressive hero Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I am more than ready to assume the office of President of the United States.
Warren has risen in the polls, thanks in part to some smooth debate performances, but now finds herself a target, says Steve Peoples.
Really incredible pressure on Elizabeth Warren. She stood strong. She didn't waver, but she clearly has some things to figure out as she gets more comfortable in that frontrunner status.
More than a dozen Democrats remain active in the primary race. But for the moment, the Biden versus Warren dynamic is getting the most attention, says John Fortier.
I think still the big picture is Joe Biden has support among the African-American community and support among older whites and moderates. Elizabeth Warren is starting to become more of the choice of the progressives, but also Bernie Sanders.
Come on, Mr. Mayor.
Republicans are keeping a close eye on the Democratic race, including strategist John Fury, who now sees Warren as the favorite.
She's the one who is most in tune with the progressive base of the party. She's got the most fiery message. She checks all the right diversity boxes within the Democratic coalition. And she's got the most energy and seems to be getting the most energy with crowds.
Hello, folks. How are you?
Biden, though, continues to hold an advantage with the party's moderate voters and those most concerned with finding the strongest candidate to take on President Trump next year. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
India and Pakistan signed a landmark agreement Thursday on the opening of a new border crossing for Indian Sikh pilgrims who visit one of their holiest places in Pakistan. The rare instance of cooperation between the two nuclear-armed South Asian rival nations comes amid a sharp deterioration in their traditionally strained ties. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. You can download our podcast. Take VOA Asia with you. Visit our VOAnews.com program page to find out all about it. See us on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter. And let's hear from you. VOA Asia Facebook and the email of VOAasia@VOAnews.com. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Sidrak Franklin. and our managing editor, Diane Gao. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a great day and a weekend to follow.